Hello, good people, and welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast for the 5th of May. The Alchemy of Light broadcast is a celebration and exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. And today I am very excited to be bringing to all of you an outstanding human being who has written a book. Her name is Lynn Woodland. She has written the book, Making Miracles, Create New Realities for Your Life and Our World. And isn't life a miracle after all? Isn't that the celebration of breathing? This is just the stuff. So welcome, Lynn.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, I am so grateful you're returning to the show. The Miracle Experiment book and your work with miracles for 3 decades now has become a cornerstone of my personal study and exploration of this topic, in particular. To summarize, your ability to ground these ideas and make them accessible has been very valuable to me in my personal life, as well as the delight of your presence and finding that not only is this a useful book, but there's a real person there who wrote it, you know? So thank you for joining us and bringing us more messages of miracles. And I would like to ask you for our audience today to please share with us a little bit again in brief about your how you became interested in miracles and what brought you to this point in your maturity with this topic.
Sure. Well, I've been involved in some kind of field related to metaphysics and spirituality, spiritual education and psychology and related areas for, gosh, just about 40 years now. But I think the way miracles really came into my consciousness was when I got very excited about the work of Jerry Jampolsky in the early 80s. He made a big splash by coming on the Phil Donahue show back in, I think, maybe 82 or 83 with a group of children who all had some really terrible disease, many of whom were not expected to live initially. And he brought them together into groups to practice what he called attitudinal healing, which essentially were some very simple principles of healing drawn from A Course in Miracles that said healing is letting go of fear and just extending love. Healing is being in the moment, letting go of the past and the future, and just opening to love in the moment. And these kids started to have miraculous healings. And I just thought that was so exciting that I got a group together and we founded a Center for Attitudinal Healing modeled after his in the Baltimore area where we were at the time. And we saw the same kind of healing miracles happen for the people who came to our center. And what's more, the able-bodied volunteers who were practicing attitudinal healing also started to see all kinds of wonderful, miraculous shifts happen in their lives, too. So I just got very interested in studying what are the underlying principles that give rise to miraculous experience. And I really think of a miracle not as just a manifestation, but a miracle is some kind of wonderful occurrence that does happen by synchronicity and serendipity, where you skip steps and things just, boom, happen in a very, sometimes very spontaneous way. But there's something else about miracles, that they are just rooted in unconditional love, that there's some aspect of love that gives rise to them, and they just send a ripple of love out to everyone they touch. So there's something very healing for a whole related community of people that happens when a miracle occurs.
So a miracle is more than a personal gratification experience. That's what you're saying, that it is an expansive experience that affects many more people than ourselves.
Yeah, you know, I can give you an example. There was a woman who came to a miracle experiment weekend I was giving. And when she first started the workshop, the agenda she brought with her was, I need more money, I need more money, I'm worried about money. And as soon as she got into the workshop, she really let that go and realized that the deeper need she had was to open her heart and to feel compassion. She actually is in a caregiving field and was very burned out, and she just wasn't really loving anybody, not her clients, not her spouse, not even her kids, you know. I mean, she loved them, but it's like, get away from me, don't bother me. And she had this experience in the workshop where her heart really did open, and she let down her guard, and just all these tears of love and joy were just flowing through her just for the whole weekend. She just really opened up. Mm-hmm. And she really forgot about money. Then the next day, the Monday after the workshop ended, she went to work, and her boss called her into his office, and at first she was wondering, oh no, what did I do? But then he started talking about how she was going to get a 30% raise, and he went on to say that the committee that made these decisions really wanted to implement that over a long process of months and even years, and he just stood up for her and fought for her and said she deserves it now. So she immediately manifested this incredible gift of the 30% raise in pay. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And without even giving it attention, but the deeper experience that she went away with was this sense of love that infused her work life, her home life, her family, her friends. And that's what I mean by a miracle. Like, her process was very different than someone who is attending let's create prosperity in our lives workshop, where you focus on it and you make your goals and you envision the money and maybe you see some results. But this experience of miracles and what I think of as miracle making always has this added dimension of love to it.
Is there such a thing as a miracle that isn't a wondrous experience? You know, the way that sometimes miracles in our common jargon gets put in woo-woo, you know, is there a miracle that it happens that may not be considered wondrous, but has a lasting somehow loving effect in the Commonwealth as well as the personal growth?
Well, I do think that sometimes when we put an intention out for our highest good to unfold, God really hears that request. And I don't think of God as a personalized deity so much as a very responsive, benevolent energy that's around us. And often the way our request is fulfilled involves some kind of breakdown that has to happen first in order for our highest good to unfold. So, I think maybe I even shared when I was on the show last time the classic story of the guy who went into a healing circle with me, and his first intention was just to heal a plantar wart. But then I said before we started, well, think of something even bigger. And he voiced to himself that he wanted a better relationship with Mary. Mary was his wife. And immediately after the healing circle, the plantar wart was gone. Boom, a spontaneous miracle healing. And very shortly thereafter, so was his marriage. He just got a divorce. It just unraveled quickly. And he was pretty broken up about it. And it wasn't until a year and a half later when he was sharing the story of the miraculous healing of his wart, and he was laughing about, well, I guess I should have quit while I was ahead with the wart and not gone on to asking for a better relationship with Mary, that he had this, oh my gosh, experience where he realized that sitting next to him in the circle where we were sharing was his new girlfriend, also named Mary, with whom he had a better relationship. So I think there's a way that when we step back and see the big picture, a miracle always brings us into our joy rather than bringing us pain. And the process there may be a little bit painful if we are attached to things that really aren't serving our highest good.
Will you speak about attachment and how that is something we work on as we mature and become miracle makers? Can you speak a little bit more about what attachment is?
Sure. Well, attachment is when we really grasp hold of something from more of a fear-based place, because we think this is the only thing that's going to fulfill me and bring me joy. But we're really seeing from the limited perspective of our conscious personality filters. So we get very clingy to something that isn't necessarily for our good. And that's really a form of fear. It may be that we're clinging to what feels safe and familiar rather than something that may seem uncertain because it's new, but could actually bring us greater joy and fulfillment ultimately. And the more we go into that fearful place of attachment, the more we tend to repel all the things that are part of our highest good. That attachment is often a way we try to micromanage God. And I've seen people who work with law of attraction techniques, manifesting techniques, get very micromanaging this way, that they want to envision exactly what they want to bring into their lives, and they've got to get it perfect, and they've got to tell God how it has to be. And sometimes we can put so many qualifications and agendas around what we want that we kind of squeeze the life out of it. Because there's a way that in order for spirit to really have a hand in shaping our lives, we have to be open. We have to get excited about what we want, but then let it go for the highest good to unfold, which, as I've shared in an example, sometimes isn't what we're picturing. You know, sometimes God brings us something even better than we can imagine currently.
Is this where you would define a line between the miracle work that you are sharing with us and some of the more popular cultural manifestation tools out there, for instance, the law of attraction or things on that level, the think and grow rich, those kinds of thinking tools? Is this one of the dividing lines?
Yeah, and those teachings, there's a lot of truth to them and a lot of value. And at the same time, I think that the way the law of attraction is currently being taught, the most popularized teachings, actually are a little out of date. One way that they're out of date is that even though they address very non-linear topics, they're still taught in a very linear way. The law of attraction really by its very nature just defies linear processing. It literally removes the steps from the path. But as appealing as this is in theory, the habit of linear thinking isn't always that easy to shed, and New Thought literature will often present very mind-bending concepts in old thought linear terms, as in read the book, follow step one, step two, step three, step four, and if you get to all the, you know, six, seven steps, then you can see results. And these teachings are locked into this very linear construct of time and cause and effect, which is an illusion. We now know from the far edges of science that time is illusionary, and it's illusionary in the same way a solid table is really just particles with a whole lot of space between, and those particles are really energy and vibration, and energy is light, etc. And when we free our minds to be intentional outside of time, all kinds of new possibilities open up. We may experience a result before we've practiced any steps or even opened the book, you know, the self-help book, by way of an intention or state of consciousness that we held in the future and sent back in time to ourselves. I've had a lot of people who have worked with my book, Making Miracles, share with me experiences along those lines, because, as you know, the whole book is set up as an experiment that draws people into this virtual community where readers are invited to reach beyond space and time to connect with every other reader in a loving way and to care about them. And this energy of love then becomes a generator-like wave of consciousness that acts much like a massively focused prayer on behalf of every reader. So every reader has all these other readers, wherever they are in time and space, on their side as part of their manifesting team and part of the process of opening to the limitlessness of the universe is through the love that we would all be feeling for one another as we do this work together. And I think that's another way that popular teachings are out of date, because, you know, they taught us the importance of self-love, which we need. That's a really good thing. And they also teach the power that an individual has to change their own reality, which is something we definitely need to know. But they don't teach the higher truth that the quickest path to personal fulfillment is through joining in love and showing up for each other. There's this amplifying effect that happens when we join together for the good of all. It's not just selfless, it's efficient. It's kind of like that old Sufi teaching, I think it was Sufi, teaching story of heaven and hell, where hell shows people at an abundant banquet table and they were all starving because their spoons were too long to bring the food to their mouths. And then heaven shows the same table, the same spoons, but everyone is feasting because they're all feeding each other. And this whole dynamic of joining in love with other people to create results for all of us, I think is something very important. I think this is a new way that humanity is moving, the way we're evolving as a species. And I believe it's really going to open up a new kind of power that's more than anything we've ever known. And I think probably a kind of power that without love we couldn't handle in a responsible way.
I quite agree, Lynn. And please share with us a bit about your experience from the miracle observation perspective, because you've been in the miracle exploration for 3 decades. So is it correct to assume then that you have been an avid student of the culture in that perspective of miracles, the grounding being the unconditional love that you also define in the book as the zero point field, this web that is accessible to all of us when we join together and access it? And from your perspective of 30 years looking at the world through this lens of how do we make miracles, can you share with us a little bit about some of the hallmarks that you've noticed along the way that brought you to this understanding that now is the time to open our hearts and join, and that this is where we're going?
Yeah, you know, I've been doing some kind of group work for, I mean, even more than 30 years, closer to 40. And it's really interesting. Over the decades, I've noticed that people seem to come to groups for different reasons. And, you know, of course, my observations are all anecdotal. This is looking at a lot of groups over these years. And initially, people would come to heal something or learn something and then go home. And then there was the era where support groups became very in vogue. And there was a lot of 12-step groups happening all over the place. And I think people started to discover this incredible fellowship that happened there. They were coming maybe to heal something, but staying for the community and the love and the fellowship. And the little bit of a downside there was that sometimes that encouraged people to stay sick in order to stay in the fellowship of those recovery groups. But in more recent times, what I've been feeling is that people are coming to groups because there's a sense of quickening happening, that when we're together, things become easier. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the shift of 2012. And, you know, some people are bracing for it. Some people are all excited and rising to meet it. And I really have been thinking about 2012 as the year of community, because I think we're at a point as never before where we understand that when we come together, anything becomes possible. And I see this not just in the spiritual world, but I'm seeing it in a very real kind of a context in the global community. I mean, Time magazine named the protester as their person of the year, and what is a protester but someone who's found power by joining in common intention with other people? We've seen governments overturned and politics change as never before by people coming together in this very grassroots way. And, you know, people have been talking about the 100th monkey effect for decades, you know, that idea that once a small critical mass is reached, then the whole group suddenly gets it in this very spontaneous way, you know, by osmosis. And I think that's exactly where we are. I see this happening now. And that's what I think of as the shift. You know, things are going viral. Movements are becoming global instead of remaining locally contained. And this process of things becoming viral happens person to person to person to person from the ground up, and not from the top down. And I see we're seeing a real shift in power from all the top-down hierarchies to the individual, who is finding tremendous power simply by linking up with other individuals. And this is the shift as I see it. I don't see it as something that's coming. I see it as just bursting all around us.
I share that. And when you see that people are coming together and in the miracle-making backdrop of unconditional love, one idea that I've been exploring, and I wonder if you have thoughts about this, is moving from the head to the heart. You know, the idea that what joins us is more important than what we don't see eye to eye on, and moving to a level of essentials of what really is important, and the process of moving from the head to the heart, really getting that love is really all that matters. And the miracle experiment that you have brought to all of us is very grounded in that. And do you see how people is that a way that you might be able to define it or work with, or, you know, because there's a lot of reasons people have come together and then, like you said, they stay together sometimes just because they need each other, but the process of empowering each other and wanting to see each other fly and create and be themselves, and, you know, that requires a whole nother level of maturity, of emotional maturity, of, you know, really looking at our jealousy and our envy and our ways that we hold ourselves back. And, you know, where's the line there between head and heart? How do you go into unconditional love when you know, have to work through that stuff? How does that work in miracle making?
Well, a couple of things. One is that I think it's becoming easier to love people when we realize that it's not a selfless thing. It's actually the most efficient path to our own personal highest good. So that's one way that I think through the experience of having more of what we need for ourselves as we join for everybody else, that's going to make it easier. And the other thing is that I think that we are beginning to learn a whole new kind of love. Excuse me. And, you know, we're at this really interesting point where the world population is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, giving us every more reason to feel invisible and anonymous and alienated. And at the same time, we've developed this extremely personal technology that's enabling us to reach beyond all the distance and the space and the, you know, chasm of all of our numbers to touch individuals that we'll never meet. You know, there's all these social media vehicles now like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube that are starting to put a very personal face to the vast abstraction of humanity. And I believe that in a number of ways, through technology and other ways, we're starting to get this whole new kind of love that on one hand is able to reach beyond the tribe consciousness of the community of our day-to-day, our localized communities, yet is something more than this very abstract conceptual love for all the faceless masses. This new kind of love is capable of breaking down that faceless blob of humanity into people and caring about them. And I think a great example of this is what has happened recently with that viral video, Kony 2012. This was a documentary portraying all the atrocities being committed by the Ugandan warlord, Joseph Kony. And it's not the traditional media has never covered the story, because it has, but it was never able to get people to care. And it took this one-by-one person-to-person vehicle of YouTube for it to just go viral, for people to pay attention in the tens of millions and to experience something really in their heart rather than just in their head as they might when they're watching the evening news, which I think is what you were touching upon when you started. And I think this is something that we have evolved to a place that we're ready for. You know, that was something I aimed to do in my book, Making Miracles, where all the exercises guide people to reach out in love to other readers, to have an experience of that personal yet impersonal love, and to see that through the demonstration of our own miracles, that it's the most self-serving thing we can do when we just lose ourselves for a moment, even just for an instant, to this incredible joy of caring about the well-being of others. And you know, from people reading my book, I've had an awful lot of people write to me and share their really flashy miracle stories. Like they were reading the book and boom, they got a job offer. They were reading the book and something healed. You know, these great demonstrations of the truth that anything is possible. But then there's this other level of what people talk about, which is that through doing this reaching out to people they will never know, just other readers and other places, other times, and feeling that other readers are doing the same back, people are telling me that they just feel less alone. They feel more at peace. They feel more connected. And they'll talk about, I've heard a number of people share very particular experiences where they imagine reaching out to someone in particular, say a mother who's feeling a lot of fear and they're offering her comfort, or somebody once had the experience of feeling that she was reaching out to someone and helping to heal an injury and that kind of thing. And, you know, it's not the kind of experience we can prove to be true or imagined, but I'm not even sure that matters, because it leaves us with such a sense of peace and connection and this deepened sense of compassion.
I will share that is absolutely true for me in working with the exercises that you've presented. And so many times in stressful moments, in the webinar, I've been participating in your webinar. We can share about that in the next part here, because this is really special. You've now taken the book format and your, how many years of your Tuesday, your miracle group, and have been working in the medium of the internet, which brings this group available to anybody around the world, can join in and participate in creating this sacred space, which I call it the sacred space, where you really do come together with the intention to create a loving environment and practice the experience of miracle making. And the big part is to find that love for other people. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate, I feel such gratitude to you for really planting those seeds, because many times already I have found myself in a stressful situation and thought of somebody else and sent them love and sent them gratitude and appreciation for being in my life. And it really is amazing how it changes my whole balance. It literally moves my focus from fear, I guess, if there was a word, from this anxious place of, oh my God, what's going to happen to me, to, wow, I can do something to help somebody else. And, you know, when you say you don't know if it can be proven, I think you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter, because something happens when I realize that I can do something to help somebody. And that really is enough. And it really is enough to feel like I am making a difference somehow. And then whatever my little drama is, you know, well, so what? I mean, not so what, like, I don't care, but well, you know, nothing. I saw this poster on the train the other day. It said, "Relax and you shall receive." I was like, I like that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So this helps you relax. You go, well, okay, so there's anxiety, but you know what? I'm going to love somebody because that feels better. It just feels better. So share with us about your new webinar. Share with us about how you brought this group of many years to the internet, and a little bit about that, and perhaps how we can get involved in that. And this is a very auspicious opportunity at a great time for our evolution.
Sure. Yeah, it's actually the latest format of a weekly group I've been leading since 1987. And of course, when I first started leading the group, it was so that I could teach attitudinal healing and miracle making. And what I saw was so powerful in the work was that the greatest healing was not from any of the exercises. It was through the catalyst of the love that people experienced in that kind of community. And over the years, I really have shaped a lot of my work so that community is more the point of it than the byproduct of it, and created, really designed a structure and exercises that are designed to bring out the best in everyone. And as my offering to what I think of as the shift and the year of community, I've taken this group that used to be localized and just meet for people in my home city of Minneapolis to an online webinar format, so that people can gather anywhere. And I've set it up so that it's very friendly to people doing it with a group. So sometimes we'll have individuals participating from their own home computer. Sometimes there will be several people all gathered together around one person's computer. And I feel that there's tremendous power in that kind of having that kind of spiritual community in your life. But even if you don't, even if you do it singly, it's been just beautiful to watch how this online community is just growing and rising into love. And because we can't see each other, we can hear each other, but we can't see each other, we don't know each other, we're not in the same cities, there is this experience of personal yet impersonal love. And it's been a very wonderful and fun thing to begin. It, as you know, it's only about 2 months old now, so this is a very new experiment. And I'm hoping that people will not just join in, but join in with their friends. I even incentivize that by making it cheaper. You know, there's just a flat fee for groups, so you can have as many people as you want gathered around your computer, and it becomes very, very affordable. Mm. And I did that intentionally because I really want people to create spiritual community in their lives, just create loving community. And it's very fun because with this kind of work, I mean, I certainly offer content every week. I've been doing metaphysical teaching for, like I said, 30, 40 years. So I bring a lot of content to the science, the metaphysics, and the psychology of living a miraculous life. Yet that I think of that as really the lead-in, the warm-up to us doing some kind of spiritual work together, where we have a transforming experience that gives rise to miracles. And then we go about our week and we see what happens, and people come back and share how they saw miracles starting to unfold in their lives, often in just really lovely ways.
Hmm. And how do people find out about your webinar? Please give us your contact information and how we can find out more.
Yeah, that's an important detail, isn't it?
I think it would be helpful.
Yeah, you know, you can just find out all about it on my website, which is lynnwoodland.com, and that's LynnWoodland.com, lynnwoodland.com. And you can sign up there and read more about it. You can also get a little, there's a video, a YouTube video that you can get to through my website. It's a 7-minute guided miracle experiment. So anyone who would like to just have a little miracle-making taste in the moment can just go on my website and check that out.
Hmm. Would you like to give us a little taste now for a few minutes?
Sure.
And then we can
sure.
come back. And okay.
Sure, that would be great fun. Do we have maybe, I'm thinking, 7 or 8 minutes?
We are perfect. We have 7 or 8 minutes, and then we can come back for another 10 or so.
Okay. All right. Well, this is an exercise that I might lead from my webinar. Mm. So as you all are out there listening, wherever you are in space and time, because I'm sure not all of you are going to be live on this this experience. Some of you will be listening to the archives of this. Know that time is an illusion, so it doesn't separate us. Neither does space. And we're all going to come together in this exercise to create something miraculous for all of us. So you might want to begin with a deep breath or two to just let your body relax and your mind quiet down. And just let your whole sense of identification begin to shift. So that instead of feeling yourself to be defined by your physical body, separate and dense, you become aware of yourself as clear, bright, beautiful energy. And through this very simple shift in perception, you leave behind the limitations of dense matter and start to vibrate in the unlimited way of light, energy, and love. Just feel the very cells of your physical body becoming less dense. The molecules, the atoms, the subatomic particles all spreading out, vibrating in love and light. And now picture yourself joined by all the other listeners of this show. Again, those listening in live time, those listening to archive, all vibrating together beyond the illusionary limits of space and time, each of us bringing only higher love to the whole. And you can picture this joining as something beautiful and sacred, truly awe-inspiring and filled with the potent energy of love. And recognize how much more powerful we are together. What has seemed difficult in the past can now come more easily, simply because of us joining together. So just feel the light and energy of the network building, strengthening. And now, just very gently, just bring to mind an issue from your life that you would like to raise to a higher place. This could be an area of struggle that you would like to become easy. It could be a cherished goal that you would like to bring into being. It could be a relationship that you would like to infuse with unconditional love, or perhaps a health condition that you're ready to release. And just hold your desire around this lightly and gently, just like you would a beautiful butterfly that lit in your palm, not clutching and grasping, very open-handed and light. And just be present with your intention for a moment. Just be present in a place of gratitude and wonder, just as if you were holding the most beautiful butterfly. And imagine that the hard, fixed nature of reality as you've known it has become fluid and soft. Really, cold, harsh reality is just an illusion of our own making. And as this illusion falls away, it's being replaced by something benevolent and responsive. And it's into this reality, where all things are possible, that we will offer the butterfly of our heart's desire. So imagine for a moment everyone listening to this, all holding beautiful butterflies representing their cherished heart's desires. And in this moment, step beyond your own wants so that you can now feel the beauty of these many hearts opening to receive something life-changing. And now here comes a game changer. Recognize that pursuing our desires alone ultimately just creates separateness and scarcity. It keeps us within the linear confines of the physical world. Whereas pursuing our dreams together enables us to become wave-like, joined, and unlimited in our potential. So let go of that consciousness of me and mine for just a moment to desire joy for all of these people who are part of this experiment. And open your intuitive mind, because you may now see someone out there. It could be someone in need of a new home, finding just the right place, or someone calling out for love, joining with a soulmate, or someone seeking to find life purpose, being guided to just the right path and opportunities. Feel joy with and for these people as they receive their highest heart's desire. And now imagine one particular soul in this whole network of listeners joining you in spirit. Imagine that the two of you have been drawn together for some reason that's purposeful. You don't have to know why exactly. It could be that you have something the other needs, or it could be that you're working toward a similar goal. You don't need to understand it entirely, and you don't even need to believe any of this. Just imagine it. And as you imagine this person out there, this other soul who's been drawn to you, see this person holding a cherished heart's desire and feel how dear it is to his or her heart. And now, with the same passion you'd bring to wanting the best for a child of yours, a grandchild, a beloved pet, or other beloved being, let yourself desire the best for this person with just that same passion and intensity. Desire that there be no barriers to God's love and bounty for this individual. And now, with incredible lightness of being, imagine us all at once handing our issues and desires up, letting them all fly away, each one a butterfly, flying free. Enjoy the flurry of it. Send your own off with the certainty that what comes back to you will be what you imagined or something better. And let your heart be filled with gratitude for what is and for what's to come. Feel how loved you are by so many souls, because just as you've opened your heart to them, they have opened their heart to you. And that one special person who you have loved and cared about has done the same for you. You are so not alone. You have so much help that you never imagined was available to you. So with your heart full of faith and gratitude, just take a deep, full breath or two and slowly bring yourself back to a normal waking consciousness. And as you come back into your physical body, just feel refreshed, every cell infused with health and vitality. Ah, now just let the experiment go. But do spend the next week holding your spirit partner in your heart and prayers, feeling joy around that soul, someone you don't know, someone you don't even know what time frame they're in. It could be from the past, from the future. Imagine them receiving their highest good and just feel happy with them. And just be open to miracles. Because, Jamila, as you know, that kind of work is powerful.
It's extraordinarily powerful, and it works, in my experience, on the subtle levels, and the process of quieting, just in the process of doing the meditation and allowing myself to anchor to the exercise of exploring a spiritual partner that I have a new bond with in my consciousness is very strengthening for building my intuitive, my sensitivities, my awareness. It's helped me build a new appreciation for the subtleties and for the little things in nuance and in passing that I wasn't as sensitive to, because I am choosing to engage this process with my whole heart and really knowing that it's really helping to help me appreciate my whole life in a different way, because that is really the world I want to create, Lynn. I really want to be in the world full of love. I want to walk down the street and see people smiling because they are so happy to be alive, you know? And being that What is that? Being the change. How many people have said that throughout millennia, and how many different languages and how many different cultures? Like, we have our famous ones now, but you know what? That's been said forever, as far as I'm concerned. So why not now? Why not learn? You know, why not practice? It's like a muscle. It's like the love muscle. You have to exercise it or something.
And, you know, I think that's something that conceptually we all have wanted, that humanity has wanted through the ages. And I think what's made it so difficult is that there's been, and again, I think it's some of that linear framework that we get so locked into. We feel that that's something that we only have energy for when our own needs have been met. And any time we feel our own sense of lack or fear or anger, you know, something around me not having what I need, we let go of that as though it's just what we do after we've achieved everything that we want. We let go of that and give all of our attention to self, which in many ways simply just digs us deeper into our isolation and our scarcity. And if we can start to understand through experience, not just conceptually, but by practicing it and seeing that suddenly our lives are working, we start to get it that the best and most efficient way to having what we need for ourselves and what we want for ourselves is through the path of standing up and loving one another, then we're going to flock to it. Then it's going to become easier. In fact, I don't even want to put this out as a future thing because I think we are already starting to get that. I think that's what a lot of the Occupy movements have at their core, the whole viral experience, when things just take off. I think that we're starting to get it. That the best way for me to have mine is for me to care about you having yours. And in terms of the more esoteric law of attraction teachings, when we're simply focused on me getting mine, we can become so focused on it that we start to plug into our fears and our doubts, which is the antithesis of what we need to do and be in order to draw in our highest good. Fear and doubt repels all the things that are part of our joy, whereas love is magnetic to it. So one of the best ways to put out our own intentions to the universe and see them really happen is to put them out and then shift to caring about somebody else. Because when we're loving someone else, when we're excited about somebody else receiving their heart's desire, we do it in a really unconditional way. We're not attached in the same way we are to our own manifestations happening. So that's a very simple and easy way to let go of that trap of attachment that really is more repelling to what we want than magnetic to it. And at the same time, as we are just wanting with somebody and for somebody, we really are setting a prayer in motion on their behalf. And, you know, there's a lot of research now proving how powerful and effective prayer is. So we really are doing something to raise somebody else up. And as we allow other people to do that for us, we've just amplified our own intention exponentially. So it just becomes this big amplifying experience of us all taking each other higher and higher.
And indeed it is. And the other thing that we have working on our behalf is our beloved planet is changing. You know, the conditions that we've become separated in on some level have required this repetitive beat of the earth in a matter of thinking. And you and I both live in zones where we have seasons. You know, they definitely set us up in particular habits and routines and expectations. And now that the planet itself is changing, the seasons themselves are, they're changing. And more people are coming to terms with that as happening, that is removing a comfort zone that has pretty much been very useful in keeping people in the old way of thinking. You know, when the weather changes and you don't have one of your major connections to the earth itself in place that keeps so many other of your belief systems in place, then suddenly you do find yourself questioning and more open and more receptive and more aware even of the longing in your heart to connect with people and the need to identify things beyond the superficial level that this, you know, hurry up and go culture cultivates. We're being loved and supported by the planet itself to move into this true universal language of unconditional love. I really feel that we have the support from the cosmos and beyond that humanity on planet Earth is ready to put down its weapons now. I really feel that support from the earth. And like in the original, when we were first starting the conversation, you know, the wonderful experience does often require a breaking down of what is no longer serving us. And that feels very much like the order of the day, you know, looking at what is not working and to prepare and open to making miracles, becoming one with the universe again, you know. Will you please take the last, we have about 5 minutes in our broadcast now, love, and I would love to welcome you to again tell us how we can reach you, tell us about any events and exciting news you have at the Lynn Woodland Miracle Experiment world, and move toward wrapping it up that way.
Sure. Well, I'd love for people to come visit my website. It's lynnwoodland.com, lynnwoodland.com. And you can find out about my webinar, my Tuesday night's webinars there. Upcoming, I'm going to start an 8-session segment starting, I think it's May 8th, I believe, mm-hmm. on manifesting, on calling in our highest heart's desires in a very different way. It's a different slant than a lot of traditional law of attraction teachings. So that'll be coming up. My website is kind of a fun place to visit. You can leave a request for healing there, and I have a distance healing ministry that will get your request and send you healing. I have a video, a miracle experiment video that you can watch. I have some meditations, some healing meditations, and all kinds of stuff on there. I also have a year-long miracle course online that really that leads to ordination if you complete the whole thing. And it works with the seasons as a template for the whole of human experience. And I loved what you were saying, Jamil, about the seasons changing and really forcing us out of our comfort zone. You know, I've never looked at it that way. That makes a whole lot of sense. That was cool. I like that. Also, you know, you can get my book, Making Miracles, at namastepublishing.com or on Amazon. You should be seeing it in your local bookstores any time now. And if you don't, you want to get it, you might want to go to your favorite bookstore and support them, ask them for it, because our bookstores need our help these days. They need our patronage.
Isn't there something really cool happening with your book in May?
Yes, I wasn't sure if I had time to talk about it. Yes, my
beloved
publisher, who is so all about service, she's the one who brought Eckhart Tolle to the world. And she is partnering with SIVA Canada, which is a charity organization that restores sight in people in Africa who would otherwise be blind, sending doctors over, partnering with them and with the very well-known Mind, Body, Spirit magazine Common Ground all over the West Coast, and the largest Mind, Body, Spirit bookstore in North America, Banyan Books, to create a fundraising, miracle-making project. All the profits of Making Miracles sold in the month of May through Banyan Books or Namaste website are going to be donated to SIVA. There's all kinds of events that are going to be happening in May around this. I will be in Vancouver May 25th and 26th doing events. And all through the month of May, you can walk into Banyan Books or go on their website or Namaste's website, buy a book, and the profits will go to this amazing organization, SIVA. So the Making Miracles book has gone out into the world in a way that it is making even more miracles than I anticipated, which I always love that.
Yay, Lynn!
Yay, miracles!
Yes. Yay, miracles indeed. Well, now we've come to the time of our show. And so I want to thank you again so much for joining us and for sharing your wisdom and the great miracle experiment. And wow, what a pleasure to be sharing the road with you and really looking forward to the world we are creating and living in that love of now. I love the way you just consistently say, forget time, folks. It's now. I love that. I love that. So, well, I'm Jamil Graham. You have been listening to the Alchemy of Light broadcast on bbsradio.com. Thank you to the good people in the back of the house making all of this possible. And thank you again, Lynn Woodland, and offer you the last word, and we will sign off.
Oh, thank you, Jamil. It has been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And I look forward to our paths crossing again in some way.
Likewise. Likewise, Lynn. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in, and we will catch you next time. Take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other. And hey, come and visit us at the webinar. It's really fun. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.